Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, all, and welcome to today's program. Today we're going to spend pretty much the whole program talking about something you may not have ever heard of. It's called the Overton Window. And this article was published in the July-August issue of Share International magazine by Scott Champion, who was a financier. And it's titled The Pandemic and the Overton Window. The Overton Window is a term describing the ideas that define the spectrum of acceptable government policies. If politicians are to succeed, their policies must remain within this range of public acceptance. In order for politicians to expand their policy reach, they must either develop new platforms within the existing Overton, or the public must call for new policies with a voice loud enough for politicians to hear. In his writings, Benjamin Krem maintained that one day humanity would be brought face to face with a profound wilderness experience of significant depth and impact. And he said, "The wilderness experience, particularly for the West, is the acceptance of a simpler way of life so that all people everywhere can live."
Arising out of this experience, the world's governments would be put to the test to prioritize and meet the true needs of their people. While few expected a pandemic as the initiating cause of this wilderness experience, the economic collapse springing from the pandemic and the response of the world's governments, which has followed the crisis to date, is in line with Krem's writings and lectures. In April 2020, the Democratic Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, provided a glimpse into a fairer economic model for the people of the U.S. by saying that the universal basic income might be worthy of consideration in the current economic environment.
Speaker Pelosi is the most senior U.S. politician ever to publicly voice such a revolutionary change in the U.S. economic model. Prior to this, U.S. presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders pushed numerous progressive socialist ideas into the thinking process of American voters. These U.S.-centric ideas parallel the conservative government in the U.K. rushing out to hand money to businesses to cover 80% of employee wages up to a sizable limit, taking a step that a Labour government could not even have imagined only a few months ago. These unprecedented proposals and steps into socialism are due, of course, to the economic misery wrought by the COVID-19 pandemic.
This has resulted in deep structural damage to the global economy within a tightly compressed time frame of actually 10 weeks. Rivaling the losses in employment and the decline in economic activity that occurred over 10 years during the 1930s Great Depression, the depth and speed of the economic damage is only just beginning, according to Rabobank's insightful economic analyst Michael Every, and it is terrifying. Actions taken by governments to make capital owners whole in times of crisis have a significant history in the developed world. equity holders are repeatedly bailed out through liquidity schemes orchestrated by global central banks, whose actions in times of economic crisis routinely prioritize stock, bond, and real estate markets above and before people. Many trillions of dollars have been made available in the century alone to support market assets in the US, EU, Japan, and throughout the developed world.
In recent years, China has joined in this asset levitation as well. These same countries occasionally provide limited amounts to the public if the crisis is seen to impact employment in a significant manner that could lead to mortgage, auto, and credit card defaults and take cash flow away from wealth holders. As many commentators have remarked, it is a global system where losses are socialized and profits privatized. Since the 2007 to 2009 Great Financial Crisis, the capital markets have, at times, ceased to be a casino system, as equity bets in the aggregate during crises are significantly covered by central banks at the expense of taxpayers, deficits, and future currency values. There still may be a casino nature to the success of individual companies, but in crisis times, the well-managed and poorly managed companies tend to be bailed out irrespective of management performance and competence.
Those managements that borrowed heavily to engage in stock buybacks over the past 10 years placed their companies at great risk. Corporations who behave this way, such as Boeing, are the recipients of substantial public resistance to the idea of using taxpayer money to bail out greedy, incompetent, self-centered management. In their devotion to maximizing shareholder value, while simultaneously maximizing the value of their own stock options, management offshored every possible expense and resource in order to squeeze the last dollar into reported earnings. It was the result of this cost squeeze throughout the corporate universe that such critical resources as medical tests, chemical reagents, masks, gowns, gloves, eye protection and hand sanitizer were nowhere to be found in domestic production. In most industrialized countries, virtually everything had been outsourced to the lowest cost producer in order to save pennies, but pennies multiplied over millions of items.
In the short space of 2 months, what became essential to governments, employers and workers took on an entirely new meaning. Healthcare employees who work with COVID-19 patients became the most significant frontline in the world in an unmatched global realization of what was suddenly most important, staying alive. The checkout person at the grocery store was thrust into this new battle, upgraded to essential status overnight, but was left without the needed protections while having to stand face-to-face with potentially infected customers and co-workers. These workers earn close to minimum wage without paid sick leave and have at best questionable and expensive health insurance in the US.
Few essential workers, including frontline medical workers, could get tested for the COVID-19 virus. But news stories were full of professional sports teams having been tested, entertainment stars posting their results on online news and social media, and wealthy people in their entire neighbourhoods having no trouble getting tested through private concierge medical services. Importantly, this state of affairs has not gone unnoticed by the newly valued essential workers. On May Day 2020, in a call for worker justice, a coalition of essential workers for Amazon, Instacart, Whole Foods owned by Amazon, Walmart, Target, Shipt and FedEx stage a walkout in order to demand higher wages, sick leave and safe working conditions. Yay!
As a result of being thrust onto the front line of a pandemic, it has been easier perhaps for essential US workers to quickly realise the unfairness of capitalism than it had been for them to overcome an entire life's conditioning about the sanctity of market forces, including ideas of how a successful economic system must operate. As a result of the pandemic, many people are awakening to a new reality. They are developing a clearer view of the situation and beginning to take a stand over the obvious unfairness they have experienced and which they see as putting their families at risk. This newfound sense of self-worth is possible because of the release of past conditioning as their immediate, raw, brutal pandemic experience is outside their previous experience and conditioning. They see it is not fair. They have no reason to accept that it was their fault, or to just accept it as it is without complaint. And they see more clearly how the wealthy benefit at their expense, even while those same workers' lives are placed at real risk. It appears likely that mental conditioning can be more easily overcome when faced with an existential threat, the possibility of dying.
Going forward, essential workers are unlikely to accept their lot without a substantial rethink, as they've experienced firsthand that they matter, and that they matter a great deal. The same holds true of those who were required to shelter in place, to quarantine for the greater good. They know this is not their fault, that they should not be evicted or have their home foreclosed upon or their car repossessed or forced into bankruptcy due to following what was necessary and required. As this idea dawns, a space may be created that can tear down mental conditioning. I'm essential. I did the highest thing so that others might live. Why should my family suffer because of that?
At the present time, it remains to be seen if the money printing techniques used by central banks during the 1987 stock market crash, the bursting of the 2000 dot-com bubble, and the great financial crisis of 2007 to 2009 will work once again in today's highly interconnected and heavily indebted world. The ongoing COVID-19 pandemic is quickly demonstrating that many aspects of life pre-pandemic may take a long time to return to normal. Numerous economic analysts whose careers have been devoted to understanding the global economy have said that they do not expect many industries to be able to return to normal in less than 2 to 8 years, depending on the industry. The chief investment officer of JP Morgan Asset Management stated that it will take at least 12 years for employment to return to recent heights. Financier and hedge fund leader George Soros, at 89 years of age, stated that this is the crisis of his lifetime.
Government policies and business operating plans will have to adjust to the new reality. Recognizing that the pure globalization model with its failed and broken supply chains puts companies and people at risk. It places profits above public safety, labor standards, living wages, citizen welfare and health, environmental standards and the health of the earth, which can now be seen in photographs of clear skies and unpolluted air, as of the writing. Businesses too will need to rethink if maximizing profits is worth risking their future viability as they struggle to survive in these new times. Those without the ability to raise money in capital markets, such as stock and bond markets, will be under extreme pressure unless government bailouts are effective. Few market analysts expect less than significant economic difficulty before we can put it all behind us. And many of these analysts expect this downturn to rival or exceed the difficulties faced in the 1930s Great Depression. By many metrics, we are already in a new Great Depression.
Cheery stuff. And the article goes on. Global sales, profits, employment, capital investment and tax revenue will remain under pressure well into the future. Formerly profitable businesses such as aircraft manufacturing, airlines, hotels, lodging, automakers, car rental, transportation, casinos, restaurants and many others will be forced to shrink their operations. Employment will suffer far longer than usual and increase the time spent in global recession or depression. Essential businesses will be confronted with demands for higher wages, paid time off and affordable health care, and this will occur against the backdrop of record unemployment, which may lead to a combustible confrontation between owners and labour. Business profit margins will be under pressure as a result of the pandemic, and supply chains will be brought closer to home with less dependency on a single production country such as China. Businesses will spread their supplier risk exposure across multiple platforms to ensure against reliance on a single source provider. In the current pandemic, there are no easy solutions, and life will be altered far into the future, irrespective of how successful the first economic openings will be.
Is there anything that could soften the economic depression quickly? A widely available safe and effective treatment regimen or a successful vaccine widely administered are the best opportunities to avoid a prolonged global depression. But even if one or both of these positive events are on the immediate horizon, the economic damage would still be beyond all past recessions. The recent peak in global GDP, adjusted for inflation going forward, will be difficult to achieve in the short to immediate term due to the unprecedented destruction of both supply and demand throughout the world economy. Developing economies are in for a particularly difficult time due to their reliance on the US dollar as well as their dependence on a robust and fully functioning euro dollar market. Euro dollars are the US dollars held outside the US banking system. So with the steep drop in total economic activity, the supply of US dollars is sharply diminished globally, placing intense pressure on developing economies at the same time that commodity prices slump.
This double blow is the reason the International Monetary Fund is seeking to increase its lending capacity to $1 trillion to aid developing economies as the fund hopes to expand its special drawing rights. But President Trump's administration is resisting and has so far opposed this plan. If this continues, it could be left to the US Federal Reserve and US Treasury to underwrite an almost unlimited amount of foreign government and foreign corporate US dollar debt, credit lines and bank letters of credit to stave off global collapse. This unfortunate state of affairs would put the US control of global economic activity far beyond its present influence, choosing which countries and which corporations get funded.
In this scenario, the US government would get to pick international winners and losers. Countries such as China and Russia, with their sizable economies, would not wish to find themselves in the same boat as Iran, Venezuela, or North Korea. For Russia, already under US sanctions, this idea must be particularly unappealing. It is an untenable situation for these politically and economically powerful countries possessing advanced military capabilities, and one can only imagine the range of policy options Russia and China might consider if this increased US dominance became reality. Oh dear. In short, problems coming to a head in the euro-dollar market over the last few quarters are sowing the seeds of another global crisis. As the pandemic made the US headlines, the various US stock markets initially declined 30 to 40% from their early 2020 all-time highs. In the 10 weeks from mid-March to late May 2020, over 40 million US workers officially became unemployed. Adding in gig workers and the self-employed who are not counted in official unemployment statistics, estimates are that over 60 million US workers became unemployed in this short time frame. During those same 10 weeks, as 60 million Americans lost their jobs, the major US stock market soared over 30%. The country's richest people added $474 billion to their wealth, leading many financial commentators to declare that this is everything that is wrong with American-style capitalism.
The recognition that modern capitalism only works for the very few, the billionaire class, is a developing trend as more and more commentators, analysts and businessmen recognise that something has gone terribly wrong. The COVID-19 pandemic has provided a sharp and dramatic adjustment to the Overton window. In less than 2 months, and circumstances that influence public discourse have been radically altered. This is a unique moment in history, and the window can only open wide at the present time if people demand substantial change and are willing to hold politicians to account. If the public leads, politicians will propose policies thought to be unobtainable only a few months ago.
Powerful US politicians are articulating policies that until recently had been considered too extreme and radical, with no chance of implementation. But suddenly, these policies are not only becoming acceptable within the public mind, but are increasingly seen as necessary. The COVID-19 virus has affected the world deeply, and as a result, many now recognize the need to adjust our political, economic, and social systems. No country exemplifies this need as does the US, which collapsed under pandemic mismanagement, gutted by free market ideology and the push for profit maximization at all costs. Now those costs are hitting home.
Readers of Share International magazine have long had the expectation that a wilderness experience might create an opening for the experience, or the emergence, I should say, of Maitreya, the world teacher. Certainly, with current conditions, it looks like that could very well be on the cards. Anyway, that is all we have time for. Thanks for listening in.
Thank you very much.